It's time for After the Whistle Sports with your hosts, Presley, Lucas, and Brandon, providing you all the latest scores and sports news. Now it's time for After the Whistle.
Welcome into After the Whistle. I'm your host, Brandon Orrick, alongside of Presley and Chetan, and we got Matthew running the board for us today. Guys, you know, Super Bowl 51 is over. First Super Bowl in history to go into overtime. It was definitely a good one as the Patriots make a miraculous comeback, unthinkable comeback, to beat the Falcons.
I know, man. I just watched last night, and I was seeing where, like, the Falcons were just dominating the whole first half, really the first 3.5 quarters of the game. It just felt like in the fourth quarter they didn't really want it like it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, like Chetan told me earlier before class today that this was the best, worst Super Bowl ever. You know, like it went into overtime, which was history. You know, it was the first time that's ever happened in the Super Bowl, and a 25-point comeback. So, I mean, it was a really good one to watch, you know, and watch Tom Brady out there and get – he was really emotional after the game, very surprising, but he's well-deserved it.
Yeah, yes, a couple things from this game. You know, this is Brady and Belichick's fifth Super Bowl, so 5 out of 7. So where does this put Brady? Is he the greatest quarterback of all time? Does this Super Bowl cement his legacy as the greatest quarterback or greatest player of all time?
I think it does. 5 Super Bowls out of 7 he done went to and won. I just feel like for him being as seasoned as he is, I don't want to say old, as seasoned as he is in the game and still got the arm strength, still got the poise just to deliver night in and night out and bring – because I know he don't get the best athletes like Edelman and all them. I know they're not the number one draft picks, probably not even second rounders, not even third rounders, but he just gets
some of them undrafted.
Yeah, he just gets some good guys and he go out there and help them become the player, the best player they can become.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, I hate to admit it, being a Peyton Manning fan, Peyton's probably the greatest regular season QB, but just overall, I mean, Brady's workload is just now getting ridiculous. I mean, 5 Super Bowl rings. What other quarterback has 5 Super Bowl rings? None of them do. Joe Montana has 4, and, you know, I kind of think Brady's kind of passed him up now on that, on being the greatest. You know, he really deserves it. I mean, he's worked hard day in and day out. I read something about his diet, actually. And they said his diet, he has like 80% vegetables. And like only meat that he eats is like grilled chicken. He rarely eats chicken. Most of the time it's like salmon and stuff like that. So, I mean, he really, off the field too, you know, he really works hard for himself as well. So, you know, Brady, he's just an all-around hard worker. And, you know, like you said, he makes his teammates better. Some of these guys you've never even heard of. But then after a Super Bowl, I mean, you hear about them, and they end up being great players for the Patriots, like Chris Hogan, former lacrosse player. And now all of a sudden he's a great wide receiver in the NFL. I mean, goes to show Brady really does care about his teammates, and he really puts in the effort.
Yeah, I think he is definitely one of the greatest. And I think that question – I think it's kind of a loaded question whenever you say who is the greatest quarterback, because it really depends on what you're using to quantify greatness. If you're going on Super Bowl rings, no doubt Brady is the best ever. He's got 5. Nobody else has 5. But I don't know. I think, like I said, I definitely think he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest. But I think it is still up for debate, just simply because it is so hard to define greatness, and everybody's going to have a different opinion on that.
And it matters what era you're from. You know, it might be guys like Mays and older who think that people like
Joe Montana, Dan Marino,
Aikman,
yeah,
like people like that are better than these days quarterback. But, I mean, numbers do speak for themselves, but it's all depending on where you're from.
Yeah, like around here, everybody likes to talk about Peyton Manning, which, I mean, you can't blame him for what he did here at UT. You know, he did really great here. And also when he went to the league, I mean, Peyton also had to deal with coaching changes, injuries, and also team changes. So, I mean, I feel like that kind of came into play as well which is why I think Peyton is also one of the greatest, too. You know, he kind of changed the whole game of football, if you think about it, with the up-tempo offense and no huddle. I mean, Peyton really just changed the whole aspect of how you run an offense. And I still think Brady, though, kind of – it's kind of a toss-up right there, kind of 50-50 yeah. still.
Yeah, and another thing that I want to point is how many of these Super Bowl teams that Brady's been on, all seven, not just the ones that they've won, but how many of those teams would have made the playoffs
without Tom Brady?
Yeah. I think definitely those first couple would have with another quarterback.
Randy Moss.
With just an average quarterback. Yeah, definitely that year's team. They were really good. And another thing, as you were talking about Peyton Manning, with Peyton Manning's Colts teams and those Bronco teams, you take him off those teams, well, with the exception of this year's Broncos team, they did have a good season, yeah. didn't make the playoffs, but still had a strong season. I know for a fact those Colts teams that he took to the playoffs would not have made the playoffs if he was not on that team. He was the catalyst for that team.
Oh, yeah, there were guys, I mean, you would have never heard of if it wasn't for Peyton Manning, like Dallas Clark, Reggie Wayne, even the running backs. I mean, Peyton really threw to them some too as well. But, you know, yeah, I totally agree with that. With Brady, I mean, that whole system, I mean, Bill Belichick's been there and he set that system for him. You know, when Brady got injured in, I think, 2008, when he tore his ACL and Matt Cassel came in and took over, they still made it to the playoffs that year without Brady. So, I mean, kind of raises a few eyebrows.
It's a train running with no hiccups over there with Bill Belichick.
Yeah, they still made the playoffs that year. And as you saw in 2011 when Peyton went out, when he had neck surgery that year,
the Colts
won two games. So that's another thing to look at whenever you're talking about greatness, the impact that they have on that team. And no doubt Tom Brady does have a huge impact for the Patriots. Another thing we're going to talk about from this game is just the total choke job from the Atlanta Falcons.
Especially their defense. Their defense on front seven, especially them D linemen, had a wonderful game, 97. Had like two or three sacks, I recall. But it just felt like when they got in the red zone, they didn't want it as bad as they did. That's why I feel like they lost.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, that defense in the second half, I don't know if it was if they were tired or if they just
relied on the offense.
Or if they were just relying on their offense, like, okay, yeah, we got these guys beat, so, you know, we don't really have to go as hard as we were. But, I mean, that front seven, like I said last week, I knew that front seven was going to be very potent on that defense. You know, I thought that they were really going to get to Brady, and they did. I mean, Brady got hit almost 20 times last night. He got sacked probably about five or six times, too. So, I mean, I really feel like they put the pressure on Brady, but at the end of the day, Brady was Brady, and that's the story.
Yeah, I agree. I think the defense did get tired. I mean, I'm not sure the exact number, but I know the Patriots did run a ridiculous amount of offensive plays. And, you know, I think another thing that contributes to that is the Falcons' offense in the second half was, I don't know the word to use for it, but it was bad. They couldn't get anything going in the second half other than I think they scored on, the first drive, maybe first or second drive?
Yeah, it was something like that. That play calling, I don't know what Shanahan, I don't know what was running through his mind in that second half. I mean, he really was calling a lot of pass plays in that second half, and Devontae Freeman, he was toting it in the first half. Devontae, that first run that he had of the game, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, and another going back to the play calling, late in the fourth quarter, the Falcons were up 8. Falcons definitely in field goal range, and it's a second down, and they call a pass play. First of all, what are you doing calling a pass play? Why not just run the ball? You're in field goal range. Just get this. Time was winding down. I think there's less than 4 minutes left. Just get this thing to a two-possession game. Kick the field goal. Why are you throwing the ball? So after they run the pass play, Matt Ryan gets sacked. I can't remember what happens on the third down play. I think they threw an incomplete pass. Anyway, had to punt, and that led to New England going down and scoring the game-tying touchdown, two-point conversion. So I'm not sure what was up with the play calling, but it definitely wasn't going for Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, Matt Ryan, you know, a lot of people were saying he choked, but I don't think Matt Ryan lost them the game. You know, he played great the whole game. Going into the fourth quarter, I believe, he only had 3 incomplete passes, and that was before the fumble happened. But, I mean, other than that fumble, I mean, he really did not do anything bad. He was on fire that night. The fumble, really, I don't even really think that was his fault either. I mean, there was like 2 missed blocks on that play, and as a quarterback, you're usually taught to tuck that. But if you can get the ball away, then you try and get it away, and that's all that Matt Ryan was trying to do. He didn't want to take the sack, but fumbled it instead.
Yeah, and that guy came to him untouched. Definitely a missed block there. But Patriots, as we said, winning their 5th Super Bowl. I think that's an NFL record.
Yeah, there was a lot of NFL records made last night. First overtime Super Bowl game. That number 97 for the Falcons, Jarrett, he tied the record for most sacks in a game. I know he tied it. I don't know if he broke it or not, but he tied for the most sacks in a Super Bowl. He had 3 that I know of. So, like you said, 5 Super Bowls for a quarterback, that's the most ever as well. It's a really good game to watch, but I mean, if you don't like the Patriots, which a lot of people don't, there was a poll put out and the Patriots were the most hated team in the NFL. But I mean, either way, it was a great Super Bowl to watch, whether you were a fan or not.
Any thoughts on the halftime show or any commercials? And just real quick,
Lady Gaga, she was terrible.
Oh. You thought she was terrible?
Oh, my God. I just don't like her. She's just so weird.
I'm not really like a Lady Gaga. I'm not a Lady Gaga fan by any means. But I actually thought it was a pretty good Super Bowl halftime show with the way they started it out. She was on top of the dome.
I mean, yeah, it was a nice show.
I mean,
show,
it was a really great performance.
The content, I ain't like it.
She can sing as well. She can sing very well, I think. But I don't really like her song. So, I mean, but the performance was very entertaining.
I'll have to agree with you there. I thought the show was it was pretty entertaining. I like you said, I'm not a big fan of Lady Gaga and her songs, but the show was pretty good. We'll move on here and talk a little Tennessee football news that broke yesterday. Brady Hoke, former Michigan head coach and former Oregon defensive coordinator, is expected to be named the new defensive line coach at Tennessee. So, you know, getting another former head coach on the staff. A lot of people say that Brady Hoke is an excellent recruiter. One thing that is said about Brady Hoke is that he helped recruit Tom Brady to Michigan. I know Brady wasn't that much of a standout in college.
National champion, though, in 97. Brady.
Yeah, true. But he can recruit, and a lot of the guys that are at Michigan now making plays are there because of Hoke recruiting them there. So thoughts on the new defensive line hire?
I think it will really help us out some, you know, but it also could hurt us. You know, being a head coach, he's probably looking for another head coaching job. So, you know, he's kind of going through that process right now, where you got to start out as a coordinator or a certain position coach and then do your work there and show that your players did what they needed to do and, you know, go get another head coaching spot, kind of like Lane Kiffin did with Alabama.
Or he hopes that Butch Jones will screw up his chance at head coach. And maybe
Which is very possible.
Which is possible. I mean, I feel like if Butch don't produce this season, at least go to one of the bigger 6 bowl games, like the Rose Bowl, Tax Layer Bowl, and stuff like that. If he don't get into one of them, I think his years at Tennessee are going to be done, too.
Yeah, I agree. I really think that the offense really kind of needs to change as well. I don't really think that type of offense can be successful in the SEC day in and day out. You know, a lot of teams are ground-and-pound offense, like Alabama. Alabama, they do the same stuff every year, and they put their best up against your best, and their best win every time. you know, the run game, I really think, is going to have to step up for us.
They're going to have to get a fullback
somewhere. They have to go under center. I mean, you can't just run shotgun the whole game. On goal line, like, that makes no sense to me. Why line up 5 more yards back if you're on the 1 yard line and run the ball when you can just line up under center and run it and your running back get momentum? Because I know Shaitan, as a running back, you probably like running it under center more because you get to carry that momentum with you instead of having to wait, grab the ball, and then start running.
That was a big problem I had last year, that we went shotgun so much and I just couldn't. I'm a downhill runner, so me coming down here, I got more acceleration, more speed, more power, more force, and all that coming behind me than me trying to get the ball from the quarterback and hit a hole. But, I mean, yeah, ground and pound in the SEC is just what's going right now. I don't know why Tennessee and our offensive coordinator decide that that's a good move for them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you have some of those teams who really like to air it out, like Texas A&M and Mississippi State, but, I mean, they still – do their thing and they line up under center and they give it to that big back and run them, which is you know, I really think that Jalen Hurd, a lot of people are hating on him now that he left, and you know, I really agree with Hurd. I didn't think UT was a very good fit for him with the offensive scheme because he's a downhill runner. I mean, it's perfect for a running back like Kamara. So I mean, I really agreed with Hurd's move away from UT because it's not his fit. I think that if we would have threw in like a pistol set formation more of like we did against Northwestern, I really think that we could have been more successful and, you know, kind of switched it up a little bit.
Has there been any talk about where Jalen Hurd will take his talents to?
The last I heard, he was looking at UCLA and Cal was the last I heard.
Yeah, UCLA and Cal. And I saw just before signing day, he had taken a visit to Ohio State. So
yeah, I heard about that as well. Going to Ohio State, that would be ridiculous.
Go Buckeyes.
Jalen Hurd in that offense with JT Barrett. Oh, my gosh.
Scary sight.
But I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think the offense is a problem. I think the offense put up good numbers last year. I do agree with what you said about being on the goal line and running the shotgun. I just think that's just stupid. I don't understand why Butch Jones is so stubborn in that, why he won't go under center. Like you said, it makes no sense to line up 5 yards farther back than what you're at when you could be 5 yards closer and have a running back that has momentum and that is running downhill. But I think the offense, other than that, has been fine. I mean, they put up great numbers, scored a lot of points. I think this past year, the defense definitely cost them some games.
And to get that linebacker core strong.
Yeah, I feel like. I agree to an extent, but I mean, when you run that type of offense and you play against other teams in the SEC, I feel like they know what's coming. I mean, everybody knew if Dobbs lined up in shotgun, he was either running it or passing it every time. So, I mean, I don't really know what the whole thing that should be done is, but I really think that they should throw in some under-center type stuff. You know, it's going to be a great thing to see with either Garantano or Dormady at QB this year. I mean, that's going to be a great competition. Either way, I think it's going to help UT out. But also, I agree with the defense, you know, and they're also losing a lot of big key pieces on that defense, and Cam Sutton, Derek Barnett, and some others. So
Reeves Maben,
defense
gone
is
too?
Really, yeah, Reeves yeah. Maben is gone as well. I really think that defense is really going to have to step up this year, and they're going to have to get some top recruits.
Yeah, I think definitely last year the secondary struggled big time, and you lose Willie Martinez, which isn't a bad thing. I think you definitely improved with a secondary coach hire in Charlton Warren. I think he's a great hire. I think he's definitely going to be a step up from Willie Martinez. So we'll see that coming up. Spring practice not be starting before too long, so it'll be exciting to see this upcoming season. Talk a little Tennessee basketball here. This past Saturday, Tennessee went down to Mississippi State, had a 19-point lead, and just watched that lead dwindle away. And the Bulldogs escaped with the win. Definitely hurts Tennessee's tournament chances, but not doesn't kill their tournament chances. There still is a shot for the tournament. You just have to win those. When you're up 19 points, they've had a couple of those this year. I think Ole Miss was another one when they were on the road down there. They were up 13 points and watched that lead dwindle away.
I just feel like Tennessee has a hard time, a hard consistency time of playing hard at all times. You feel me? I just feel like that they got players like Chubbs. They got players like Bowden that can run the floor real well. But I just feel like their defense is not consistent and how hard they play is not consistent. I feel like that has to better for them to have a chance at making the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, sure. And on Saturday, Hubs, he was really not even there. I think he scored in the single digits. And from your senior leader, you're going to have more, especially coming down the stretch when they just couldn't get a basket. Like I said, their tournament chances are not completely over. There's still a great game Wednesday night here in Knoxville against Ole Miss. Definitely a must win for the Vols in a game that they should win. Ole Miss, like I said a minute ago, did beat them down in Oxford, but the Vols should be hungry to win this one. And you know, I really think that this Mississippi State game from Saturday is a lot like the Ole Miss game from a few weeks ago. You know, and after that Ole Miss game is when we saw Tennessee rattle off wins against Mississippi State, Kentucky, Kansas State, and Auburn. So maybe the Vols can go on another run like that and get these wins this week against Ole Miss and Georgia, which would be big if the Vols are going to make it into the tournament.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, like I said a few weeks ago with UT, they're really young right now. So, I mean, I wouldn't really be worried too much about it if they lose some of the games like that. I mean, I totally agree. If you got a 19-point lead, you have to close that game out and you have to win that. But a lot of these guys are very inexperienced, and, you know, they get in these high-pressure situations, and they don't really know what to do. But like I said before, if they trust the process and what's going on there with Rick Barnes, they're going to be a very good team here in the future. I wouldn't really expect an NCAA tournament berth just right away, even though it may happen this year. But, you know, you just got to keep the faith in them, and they keep putting in that work every day and, you know, getting your players better, getting more top recruits in. I mean, they're really young right now with Jordan Bowden and Quay Parker, and, like, your only upperclassman is Hubs. So, you know, it's a really, really young team, but they're also really very talented and they're very athletic as well. You know, if they get some size on their team, I think that they'd be great.
Yeah, it's really incredible that we're even talking about the NCAA tournament with this team. Coming into this year, they were projected to finish 13th in the SEC. I think they will definitely not finish 13th because Texas A&M, LSU, and Missouri are awful. And this Tennessee team is definitely overachieved. I think it's amazing that we're even talking about the NCAA tournament. And if they don't make it to the NCAA tournament, I think they will definitely make the NIT or some postseason play. And I think that's definitely a great success for this season considering.
Yeah, I agree. You know, they get this win against Ole Miss, that would be huge for them. I think that they should win, though. I mean, it's not like they're playing against old Marshall Henderson and the Land Sharks like they did a few years back when they came into town and, you know, put the work on UT. But I really think that it's a very possible chance that they can make the tournament. And I think that if they get these few wins here in the next games, I think that they'll be set.
I smell a Sweet 16 run.
Sweet 16?
I smell it.
This early?
Smell it. I smell it.
We will see about that. We'll move on in here, talk a little – this will be the last topic for today. Major League Baseball has filed a formal request to change the rules. I think they're going to raise the strike zone, make that a little wider. and also change the rule for an intentional walk. Instead of making the pitcher throw four balls outside so that the batter can't hit the ball, what they're going to do now is just automatically the team that's in the field will say, "Hey, we want to walk this guy," and he will automatically be on first base. Your thoughts on the new rule change?
That defeats the whole purpose of the game, I believe. I mean, they have set these rules in place for a reason, because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, I've watched games and been a part of games where you intentionally walk somebody and it slips and the pitcher throws it over the catcher's head, or the catcher doesn't block it up and he misses it. Or I've seen it where the guy actually swings still and he hits the ball and he gets a hit, or sometimes he gets out. So I mean, I really think that just going ahead and putting them on base just defeats the whole purpose of it, because you really never, like, you really truly never know what's going to happen in the game of baseball.
That's how you're saying, I'm about to spike the ball right now, so I'm about to tell the ref so he can automatically give us. No, you can't do that. Yeah. You just got to play the game. Why would you take out a part of the game that's crucial in its own sense, actually?
Yeah, I think I'm not. This is my opinion. I think the reason that they're doing it is try to speed up the game.
They've been talking about that for a few years now. They really want to try and speed up the game. I mean, in like the minors and stuff like that, they've been like putting pitch clocks on the pitchers. You know, they get like 15 seconds, I think, in some of the minor leagues. They get like 15 seconds to pitch the ball now. So, I don't really know why they would. I mean, I kind of understand it, like why they would want to speed it up, but I just don't really think that you should change the game like that. I mean, it's been like this for years. The great saying is baseball is America's pastime, so why would you want to change that? I mean, that's the whole great thing about going to the ballpark is being there. You know that you're going to be there all day, and, just going to MLB games, that's like my favorite thing to do. I like being there all day and in between innings and in between pitches. I mean, it's just something great to watch. I understand on TV, the TV ratings, but, I mean, baseball, they already get enough money as it is, so why try and change it?
Yeah, I agree. I do agree with you about the rule change. I don't like it. I think it's part of the game, like you said, for the reasons. The catcher may not catch it. The batter could still hit it. I think it's a part of the game. And I don't like the rule change. I think if they're gonna intentionally walk somebody, do it. Don't automatically put them on base. So many different things can happen. It could change the result of a game. It could cost somebody a playoff spot or even more than that. But that's gonna do it for us this week on After the Whistle. Be sure to join us next week here on WKCS.
That's it for After the Whistle Sport. Tune in next week for more updates.